Police have revealed they stopped two planned mass shootings around the time of the Christchurch terror attack after they were tipped off by members of the public in both cases. The police's national security adviser, Cameron Bailey, told me the police is heavily reliant on such leads when it comes to preventing terror attacks.
In both instances, as in so many cases, it's a report from the public that puts us on an investigative journey that leads us to discover what potentially is going on. And in many instances, sometimes the answer is nothing at all, can be mistaken, or something like that. But in both instances, it was some reporting from the public. And it should also be stated that that reporting from the public, you know, sometimes can only just give you a clue that you need to be interested in a person and what they may be doing, can sometimes be quite vague. So I don't want to go into the specific details of each case, but I just want to note that in both cases, it was because someone in the public saw something or heard something that concerned them and made that known to us.
That was a lead for your investigations or for agency investigations. Did that require warrants? Did that require sort of a more formal process of investigation then?
In both cases, I think I can say that the investigations did lead to using warranted powers to, you know, enter the person's home and conduct searches and things like that. So, yes, in both of those cases, the investigative work did lead to the creation of a warrant.
And were there any lessons learned from that? Were there things where, in particular, you were like, well, we need greater powers or we need new tools?
I think the key lesson in those cases, because the tools that we had did work, but in both cases, the key lesson is, and it's the lesson that also highlights the situation with 15 March, is that you do need that start point. It's also very scary if you only have one start point that, you know, can be a bit vague and could easily be deprioritized if it doesn't, you know, provide a clear enough indication that it warrants rapid action. But you do need that start point, and you need to make sure that when that comes in, that opportunity is taken.
So when we're talking about the public identifying risks, what are some examples of that in general that you can say in terms of things that might spark interest that would prompt someone in the public to report something?
For example, in the case of the concerns at the school, a student was simply sharing the concern that there was a person at their school who really worried them in the context of conducting some form of violent act at that school. It provided just enough information to give some texture to that concern and to enable us, when we received an anonymous report about this discussion online where this person was disclosing they had that concern, there was enough information that the officers conducting the investigation were able to work out who that person sharing that concern was, to go and proactively speak to them. They had indicated they might report directly to us. They hadn't yet done that. And then work forwards in terms of identifying the student they were concerned about and whether or not there was any grounds for that concern. So it's not always a case of that someone's able to give us, you know, detailed plans or anything like that, but it's enough information to sort of substantiate that, look, this is something you should look into.
And this issue of white supremacists and people radicalised in that vein, has there been a greater focus now, as is required?
Yes. As the Royal Commission report indicated, we were interested in that and concerned about it beforehand. We could see it rising overseas, and there had been quite a lot of work initiated to get a bit of grip on that issue within the country, and driven by public reporting as well as that work post 15 March, you know, we've identified more people, some of whom have come out of the woodwork because of the events in Christchurch. That issue was also a rising concern across the globe, and we're sort of following that trend, and it's a major area of work for us.
The two cases you mentioned in your speech, were they related to white supremacy?
Well, I was quite careful to say that they were potential mass shooting events, and I noted that one of them was a potential school shooting. That individual seems to have been primarily motivated by their local grievances at their school, but they were also consuming that kind of extremist material, and it likely impacted how they thought. The other individual does also appear to have shared that kind of extremist worldview as well.
And that was the police's national security advisor, Cameron Bailey, speaking to me a short time ago.